Praise God. Last week we had Evangelist Michael Babbs. I pray that you enjoyed the message. This week I have a word, no other friend.
You see what I'm saying? The enemy's going to use anything they can to divide the church. And the church, even in this day, the enemy tried to use Jesus himself against the church. Because guess what? The disciples had a good point. They were like, listen, we're the crew right here. We with you. But we seen this guy out here speaking and cast out demons in your name. And we said, you need to stop it. And Jesus said, no, he ain't hurt him. He ain't saying nothing bad about me. If he's not against me, he's for me. You have to see that God is for you. He is for your friendship. He's for your relationship. But we're spending our time finding a reason to be against one another. And God is not pleased with that. Someone give God some praise. I want to keep y'all awake. It says, truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose what? Their reward. You see that? See, so Jesus was not trying to take away their reward. First Lady, can you read this parable? I guess I don't have it up there on my little text here. It says, I want you to turn to Matthew 13. 24 to 30. Those that have your Bible, this is King James. And it's a parable of the wheat and the tare. And I want you to see this parable. And I have it up there as well so you can look. Matthew 13, 24 to 30. And it says, another parable he put forth to them saying, now, Jesus used parables. You know why Jesus used parables? Can someone tell me why? He taught, yes, to teach. He said he used parables because he wanted somebody to understand what he's talking about. A lot of time we want to look like we really know the word of God, but somebody just need to know the truth. We want to be this miraculous movement, but we don't understand that people just need to know the simple truth. So this is how Jesus broke it down. He said like this. Another parable he put before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in his field. Now that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. A man that sows what? What kind of seed?
Good seed.
So a good seed means you have to know that it comes from a good plant. So he sows a good seed. That's part of our problem. We don't want to sow good seed. We just want to sow stuff. But so that's why he made it clear. A man that is sowing good seed. It said, but while men slept, the enemy came. Someone said the enemy came.
Amen.
And sowed tare among the wheat and went his way. See, while he was asleep. Someone said while he was asleep. The enemy came and sowed tear. So while you know how it is, you plant all day. Imagine that. Get that in your spirit. You were out there working all day, planting all day, sowing seed all day, and then your neighbor that doesn't like you, woke up that evening and said, guess what? I'm going to destroy their garden. Jesus used this passage because he wants the church to know that this is how the enemy works. The enemy is trying to counter what Jesus is doing. And he wanted you to know and make it clear that the enemy is trying to counter your growth. Some of us been crying out before God and saying, Lord, why haven't you changed my situation? Why haven't you made this thing new again in my life? And God is saying, I'm a friend like no other. But don't you know the enemy is still doing his job as well? And that's why Jesus was telling the disciples, don't get caught up in breaking up with one another and not loving on each other. No, get caught up in sowing the word of God. when you're caught up in doing in the things of God, instead of sitting there talking about, well, you know, I seen her come to church last Sunday, and guess what? She didn't have on the same shoes as me. We were talking about we were going to wear the same shoes. I'm not hanging out with her no more because she lied too much. Do you know that the enemy is doing this? That he's sneaking up in the middle of the night, tearing down relationships just because something doesn't fit or look right to you. See, now, it didn't look right to the disciples because the disciples said, we put it all to work. Jesus, we stayed up with you all night as you pray. We got your back, but this guy don't know you. And Jesus said, he ain't doing me no bad. He said, matter of fact, he's planting some seed. See, the seed is in the field, but this pastor just said, the stranger went out while he was sleeping and went out and messed over the garden. All right, and it said,
26, but when the grain has sprouted and produced crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?
See, so see, he went to the servant and said, hey, did you not put out that good seed? Some of you are doing a good work, and when all of a sudden it sprouts up, you say someone come at you and try to do you wrong because they say, oh, pastor, you did this. This is what we're doing in church. People are growing. God is sowing. And what we do is we don't understand that the enemy is still trying to come in between. He's still, you know, that's what he does. You know, some of us are in our situation, even in our marriages, and we say, oh, God, I've been praying for this. Don't you know the enemy is getting up at night after you prayed? And he is sowing another seed to divide. So the servant woke up, and this gentleman, who was it that came to the servant again? The master, what? The what? The owner came to the servant and said, hey, didn't I send you out there to sow these seeds? And he said, yeah, I did, but something must have happened. God wants you to know that the enemy is doing his job. He's getting up and getting in your business. He's getting in your relationship. He's showing up at your job. And then what we do is we blame, like he began to blame the servant. He said, didn't you not do so good seed? You see what I mean? And so you're in a relationship with somebody, and instead of you understanding one another, you look at the fault. You say, oh, well, you were out there playing. That's what you were doing. You weren't out there working. You ever been in a situation where your parent told you to do something, you did it, and something went wrong, and someone messed it up, and it wasn't you, but you still got blamed? We all been there. No, Dad, I didn't get in them cookies. I told you don't get in them cookies. I didn't get in them cookies. I didn't take them. Well, then why there's only 3 cookies? I counted them last night because I know y'all be in them cookies. You know how it is. Yeah, I know my parents, they would count them cookies, especially soda. Pepsi. She would have an open Pepsi bottle or a can and be in the fridge, and we get up at night and we get that. There's nothing to drink in here. Guess what? I'll get that Pepsi that's open. Okay. Then when it get down too far, guess what I do? Get some water. Put some water in that bag. See, I was a thief at night. I got to confess, I was the one. But they get up in the morning and say, somebody did something to my Pepsi. Well, this is what the scripture showed, that the enemy got up and it went into the stuff and tried to tear down what God is doing. So go ahead and read the next passage.
He said to them, an enemy has done this.
The enemy, somebody say enemy. Has done this. I want you to know this, that you're in a relationship. You're ready to get married. You're trying to succeed in your job. You're trying to hold on to prosperity. And instead of you seeing the enemy has done this, you turn around to your friend, to your loved one, to the ones that God has brought you up with in the body, and you turn on them. And we don't even see that the enemy is doing it. And because of that, the enemy is sneaking in and trying to cause division in your own household rather than you recognizing that the enemy is in it and claiming victory over the situation. Go ahead.
The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, at least while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest."
See, I want you to see that. So let both grow with them until the harvest. Someone say that with me. Let both grow with them until the harvest. That's why I read the scripture earlier about what time it is. Right now, church, is not the time to tear one another down. It's not the time to single people out and say, well, they ain't this and that. No, it's time to know, let them grow together. It's one thing, see, like even when they were preaching his name, listen, okay, they're saying the name of Jesus and the seed is being planted. That's all Jesus was caring about, because there's another time that's coming. The time is called judgment time. Somebody said judgment time. See, this scripture is talking about that. Now, I want you to know he was breaking it down, making it simple so you can understand, so you can get out of each other's face and understand that he don't want you to break up your friendship. He don't want you to tear one another down. He said it's just not time yet. He says right now is this the time to get that crop grown full maturity, and then at the time of harvest we can separate the wheat from the tare. The time of harvest is the time of when God is coming back for the church. This is the time that the separation goes on. Don't you know that you are the light of the world? If the world does not see you, there's no light in it. Church, we're trying to hide under rocks. We're losing our relationships with one another, good Christian friends, and good friends that even in the world. The reason why we don't want to be around them is because they don't look and smell and sing like us or do like us. But God is saying, I'm not happy with it. How many want to be in a relationship that succeeds? Raise your hand. Like our minister just shared about how God is restoring her husband. Guess what? You can't get anything without working it. You got to work it. Now, when God does the work, don't you know when he come back, there's still going to be some weeds. But you cannot tear down the relationship because if God says something, you got to stand on that. Stand on the word of God. He's a friend like no other. That means he said, I'm the one that has your back. Why do you turn on one another and say, you didn't have my back? Jesus said, they weren't supposed to. I'm supposed to have your back. I'm supposed to cover you. I'm going to cover you with the blood. But he said, you're supposed to love one another. And that's what he wants the church to do. Somebody say, love one another. He said, what time is it? It's time to love one another. What time is it? It's a time to sow. Spread the gospel. That's what he told you to do. He told you when you're on your workplace, share the word of God and then love on them people. Don't look at them and say, oh, they ain't no good. I have nothing to do with them. No, love on somebody. And this will help you to grow even in the church. Because some of us don't understand that everyone's not going to be at the same level. He loves you the way you are. Let's give God some praise. See, so it says, at least while you gather up the tear, also you also uproot the wheat with them. See, so he's talking about he don't want you to uproot the wrong ones. And this is important, church. You are hurting somebody. I'm trying to get out this in between them instead of I'm not able to get in there yet right now. And instead, I take, them big pitchfork forks, and I'm trying to uproot this in between them, excuse me, and I use that fork. Guess what? That fork is going to stab her and stab her. Just trying to get that. You see me? She'd be like, ow! Pastor, you done stab me. And the pastor be like, I'm doing a good thing. I'm trying to get that up. You're not doing a good thing. You just done, you killed two others. So yeah, you got the one, but you killed the other two too. God is a just God. He's not trying to hurt his own. And that's why he told the disciples, don't worry about him. He's speaking in my name. This is why churches are a mess, because we'd rather be caught up in formality. We'd rather be caught up in how we do things a certain way. Like the scribes did against Jesus and the Pharisees. They went to Jesus and they would say, why are you healing on the Sabbath? See, they were trying to cut him down and uproot him. But Jesus had a word for them. He even called them hypocrites because they weren't doing as they say. So church, that's what you have to get into your spirit. He said, first gather up the tear and bind them together to burn them. So when it comes time for harvest, he's going to gather up the tear. He's going to do it. You don't need to do it. It's about God just sowing seeds of love. How many of you want to see your relationships restored? You can't restore something killing.
Praise God. I pray that you enjoyed the message you heard today. If you enjoyed the message, come visit us at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. Come visit us. Also, this year, we're starting our building fund. We believe in God to build a new ministry in the city. So we need your help in donations. Send a check to 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Make it out to NEP House of Praise. We hope to see you. Bless you.